You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So whenever there is a hot air balloon story, I make sure to include it in the stack for Dana.
I love hot air balloons.
You know what the hot air balloons don't do?
What does a hot air balloon not do, Dana Wright?
Stay airborne when it goes down.
Well, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Neither do planes. When they go down, they don't stay airborne. A drone show and a flawless mass ascension ended Sunday's last day of the 52nd Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. But it wasn't all smooth sailing for this year's hot air balloon event. One balloon partially caught on fire Saturday.
With the fire that they shoot up into the balloon?
After hitting power lines and landing at a construction site in northwest Albuquerque.
Bad steering.
Fiesta officials say nobody was injured. The fire was extinguished. It did knock a radio station off the air.
How did they survive the fire? Was the fire in the basket? If the fire was on the balloon, the people would have, again, dropped.
They hit a power line, so presumably they were relatively close to the ground. And it would have maybe caught the balloon itself on fire, but they're probably 30 feet off the ground at the time, and then
they may have come down hard.
Yeah.
Kind of like when I crash landed in the desert in a hot air balloon south of Albuquerque.
Actually, it got stuck up in 25 feet above the ground.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
They also knocked down a radio tower.
That's correct. And the radio station's still off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed your balloon fest.
Would be amazed if you went to Albuquerque during Fiesta time and watched all these balloons, 700, 800 balloons showing up.
Sean and the girls went years ago. In fact, they invited me to go with them, but we had something going on here at the radio station. I couldn't make it. They loved it.
Yeah.
They thought it was
It's gorgeous.
Fantastic.
As a spectator at night with everything aglow, I do acknowledge it would be pretty on the skyline. You would never, ever catch me in one of those baskets.
Would you be more inclined to ride in a hot air balloon or on the back of a motorcycle?
Oh, God. Really?
And the anxiety ticks up.
I could throw in another form of transportation to spice it up a little
bit. Lay it on me.
A blimp. As in...
Please, as in the Hindenburg? No.
Because
that thing went down.
The Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, Cody Tapp from the, on the, you know, other now FM station, got to get on that subway blimp that was here like a few months ago.
No.
They don't...
So which one would it be? Would you have to pick
like
one. A hot air balloon.
No.
The back of a motorcycle.
No.
Or a blimp.
No. The answer is no to all three.
You have to.
Why would I have to?
Because I don't know, we have a gun to your head. I don't know.
I'm dead anyway if I get into any of those situations.
If you were going to win free tickets to your favorite golf course for a week of golfing, which would you choose?
Noah Kahan is going to perform a private backyard concert
I would probably get on the back of a motorcycle briefly, not on a highway, only if it was like
on
Johnny Dare driving.
It has to be on a highway.
Like,
no helmet.
Not just the neighborhood.
I would never not wear a helmet. That's against the law on one side of state line, and that's the only side of state line I would be on.
You're only going to ride on the side of state line where you don't have to wear a helmet.
See, now you're making it impossible. No and no.
You know where it's nice and calm, Dana?
Mm.
Up in a hot air balloon.
I was going to say, on the ground safely watching the Chiefs game in my living room.
It's quiet up there.
Have you ever been in one?
Yeah. Honestly, I crash landed in a hot air balloon.
Well, this is not helping.
But
you
crash landed
in a hot air balloon.
Yes.
When?
This was 20 years ago in Albuquerque during Balloon Fiesta. The winds were a little bit strong, and they took us up. It actually was a month right after 9/11, and the pilot kept asking me, okay, let me know where the airport is, because they couldn't go across the airport. And I'm like, oh, it's about 5 miles. Okay, where's the airport? Oh, it's about 2 miles. Where's the airport? We're about to cross it. So we went up about 1,500 feet over the airport, and then we went down and landed in the desert hard. Crash landed. Yeah, the winds were just too strong that day. We shouldn't have gone up.
Okay.
Yeah.
We were talking about the homeless survey. Yeah. Was it last hour, I believe? Mm-hmm. Or story here just came in from the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. A homeless man facing felony charges after he entered a South Kansas City church.
Yep.
Sought assistance and stabbed a church member in the chest.
This was on State Line on just this last weekend. Yep.
Mm.
Yeah, buddy of mine, I don't know if he was there or knew someone who was there. When we were having that conversation, he said, do you know it was a homeless person that stabbed someone in that church on State Line?
Oh, my darn. Today is Columbus Day.
Indigenous People's Day.
Okay, which is what it's called in 19 states.
Okay.
But it is still Columbus Day in 16 states.
Should we still be acknowledging this as a federal holiday when there are other commemorative days that I think you could make the argument would be more appropriate in this day and age?
Why don't we just get rid of this day and then make Halloween a federal holiday?
What?
I was going to say 9/11 Remembrance Day.
Okay, that one would be better.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
But see, here's the problem with that. And I hear where you're coming from. It's also known as Patriots Day.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Labor Day is in the same month. Okay. But we do not take off December 7th. And there's a reason. Because with the passage of time, so does the passage of memories.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, we do not celebrate December 7th as a federal holiday. Because the vast majority of people who are old enough to have been alive on December 7th, 1941, aren't old enough to remember it.
Right. If you were alive, you were a child, for the most part.
And you're in your 80s.
Yeah.
And so with 9/11, most people remember it still, if they're our age or a little bit younger. But there's going to come a time, you know, Maya wasn't even born. Two of your children weren't even born when 9/11 occurred.
I know what we should swap it out with.
What's that?
Election Day.
Oh.
That's not a half bad idea.
Ugh. I don't think, I hate to be Debbie Downer here, I don't think the number of people who would go vote if we made that a holiday would be significantly higher if we gave everyone the day off. I don't. I think people would use that as a day to go to the lake or
buy
barbecue or go buy a mattress. Yes, it's the mattress sale day. I don't think the numbers would go up because if voting is important to you as an American, you make time to go vote. You advance vote.
Which I always do.
Which
I always
so many people do.
Vote.
Or you work it around early morning, around your lunch hour, or the polls don't usually close until 7. I just don't think we're going to see, if you said, okay, we're going to give everyone this day off, I bet the percentage bump we would see in voting participation would be less than 1%.
Why is Election Day on a Tuesday? Well, we should have election. I mean, and granted, you can advance vote, and I will, where you can go in the library down the street from my house. I'll go in on some weekend and advance vote. But why don't we just take the first weekend in November, Saturday and Sunday, and you can vote on Saturday and or Sunday. Let me rephrase, because now people are going, what are you talking about? Voter fraud? Vote twice? No, Saturday or Sunday. And then we start tabulating the results at Sunday night. Why do we do it on a work day?
Well, it goes back to when we didn't really have the work days that we do now. It goes back to when we were agrarian. Being held in November was a good time because harvest was over.
And okay, we don't live in these times anymore.
We don't.
Guess what other times we don't live in? The Columbus Day times.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm.
That's why true. They've, and I don't know which states, but that's why that we call it something different now. Indigenous People's Day recognizes the contributions and legacy of those who lived here long before Christopher Columbus erroneously claimed to have discovered America.
According to Britannica, There were a couple of days that were out for voting days. You know, Sunday for many people is important. Wednesday was like a market day, and travel. It would take people a long time to travel.
Okay, but again, these times are past.
Long past.
So why, let's do Saturday and Sunday. First Saturday and Sunday of November.
Sounds good.
I know. And then, yes, let's get rid of Columbus Day because he was a murderer, rapist. I mean, it was just, he was a horrible human being.
Do we start teaching that in schools or do we gloss right over and pretend like?
Yeah, gloss right
that's
over.
That's right. Gloss right on by the facts. That are uncomfortable at best.
George Washington couldn't tell a lie when he chopped down the cherry tree. Never happened.
Fable.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from the Kansas City Star. Ovette Gomez-Regalado, a 15-year-old Shawnee Mission Northwest student, died in August from complications of heat stroke after collapsing during football practice, according to an autopsy just released. Emergency responders were called to the school on August 14th at 5:15 in the afternoon. They arrived at 5:32 and transported the sophomore to a local hospital. He died 2 days later. The autopsy, which was conducted by the Johnson County Medical Examiner's Office, said that Gomez-Regalado suffered a hypothermic event, which means his body temperature became abnormally and dangerously high after participating in a 15-minute practice. Staff reported that Gomez-Regalado was pale, sweating profusely, and asking for water before he collapsed. The temperature outside during the evening practice was reported at 92 degrees, humidity above 70%, heat index of 112.
That's important. The heat index was 112, and a heat advisory had been issued for that afternoon, Scott.
His body temperature was recorded at 104.6 degrees after ice bags were placed on him to cool him down, and a core body temperature above 104 is defined as a heat stroke.
He was admitted into a pediatric intensive care unit where his health continued to decline. So this infuriates me every time we read about this. I feel like we have a much higher rate of these cases in Kansas and Missouri, including the community colleges, than we hear of, like, in, I don't know, Scottsdale. This keeps happening. Every year there are one or two cases that we hear about, and some of the kiddos survive and some of them do not. And I don't understand collectively why we can't do better. A core body temperature of 104.6 does not happen in 15 minutes. Period.
So how do you explain that then?
We don't know what he was doing right prior. Were they working out inside and then went outside? Were they? That does not happen in 15 minutes, Scott. 104.6, high enough to cause death. It just doesn't. And I said this to Scott during the break. I'm not saying we hand out Apple Watches to every single footballer. It, you know, morning practice, afternoon practice in the summer, we all know how hot it is when they start those, what are they called, two-a-days? Mm-hmm. But you cannot tell me that the technology doesn't exist to prevent this. Because bodies are different. Weights are different. Tolerance to the heat is different. And in fact, in some of the deaths that we've seen at the community colleges, they were transfers from, like, Minnesota.
Right. They're not acclimated
to, sometimes it was the altitude, sometimes it was the temperature, and you just can't throw all of the bodies in as one size fits all when it's, you know, a heat index of 112.
Well, the story also goes on to say, you know, that he was pale, sweating profusely, and asking for water. Was he not allowed to get it? I mean, and I'm not saying that he wasn't, that he was disallowed or anything like that. But if he was disallowed, I thought we had moved past that, where if a kid asks for water at a practice, the coach has to let them go get it. Now, again, I don't know if he was allowed to get water or was disallowed to get water or what. The story doesn't indicate, and I've heard nothing to suggest that he was not allowed to go get water. But there was a heat advisory issued for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to live right next to Mill Valley High School. I know for a fact that in the summer months, in August, for example, and even in early September, when it's still hot outside, they will have their practices in the morning. I know that because I hear the whistles going off at 5:30.
The medical examiner's report said that the police department was looking into concerns of improper practice procedure. It suggested that the investigation may have concluded by saying, quote, these concerns were investigated by law enforcement, not the ME's office, which, mm-hmm. of course, that would not be investigated by the ME's office. Shawnee police did not respond Friday to the Kansas City Star's request for comment, but today, Public Safety Information Officer Emily Rittman responded saying that the Shawnee Police Department's investigation is closed with no further action taken.
Which is to say no action taken. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. Tristan in North Kansas City. Tristan, hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call. I think this needs to bring a bigger discussion. What's more important in schools, athletics or academics? We have seen an influx of just all this money being flooding into academics when the school is a place of academics. I'm sorry. Athletics should take a fourth seat of importance to anything that
But happens. Tristan, you know that it's the athletics that bring the dollars and the butts into the seats in the stands, and we're not going to get rid of football or basketball in high school. We're just not.
Well, and also, with respect, Tristan, I mean, how many times have we heard people say, well, you know, the kids don't get out and move around anymore. This is the answer. It's always been the answer to getting kids actively, physically involved in their own health. And strangely, sadly, cost this young man his life.
May I make a counterpoint to that?
Sure.
If it's so important, then why isn't it mandatory for everyone to do that? Oh, wait, we have something for that. It's called physical education.
Well, are you suggesting that schools rid themselves of extracurricular sports?
Yeah, I am one of those. We are asking these kids to put so much strain on their bodies with concussions, just not even just concussions, but injuries, and they're not compensated anyway, and the school takes in all that money, which, if I remember right, they're not supposed to. It's supposed to be a nonprofit. In theater, no one ever gets hurt, very rarely, and if it is, it's usually a paper cut because they're making flats for the stage.
Tristan, thank you for the call. We have to do better.
I agree with you on that.
A spokesperson for the district said their investigation found the actions of school staff in accordance with Kansas State High School Activities Association's rules and school emergency action protocols. So did they respond appropriately once this child went down? How I read that is yes. They rushed. They tried to put ice on him.
Sure.
We've read this in countless other cases where students are go down with heat stroke or die.
Yeah.
We have to back up and figure out how to prevent this on the front end, because there are some football players who are healthier than others. You know, you think of some of those linemen that are enormous human beings. Their bodies are going to respond differently to 112 degrees heat index than someone who is 110 degrees and fit and on the track team. You know, bodies are different, Scott.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Channel 5, a Monday morning traffic stop, obviously early this morning, turned deadly in mid-Missouri after shots were fired between law enforcement and a driver. The Callaway County Sheriff's Office reported that a deputy tried to pull a car over on I-70 at mile marker 139. The Sheriff's Office stated a second deputy arrived to help. Law enforcement stated the driver was a 37-year-old man from Texas who had multiple felony warrants from out of state. He resisted arrest and shots were fired. Both deputies were struck by gunfire. The suspect driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Deputies were taken to the hospital. One of them is listed in serious condition.
You see over the weekend, because we get the reports from Kansas City Police on critical injury incidents or whatever, that some moron over the weekend in a car, Scott, tried to split traffic on the highway, as you have sometimes seen motorcycle riders do. So every once in a while, you'll see someone who would like to be an organ donor zoom in between.
Well, I saw one on Friday.
Two cars. Mm-hmm. We've seen motorcycles do that. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, some ding dong in a car tried to do that and failed. And I think it was a 5 or 6 car pileup with the driver.
Is this here in town?
Yes, with the driver who caused all of it careening off the highway into a tree or something. No one dead, but 4 or 5 injured. And when a car tried to split two cars on the highway.
Was he
an idiot? Yes.
Well, I got that part figured out. Was he running from cops?
No. Just thought, I'm going to make my own lane.
This is
in between
this is
an SUV.
Slow,
yeah, I'm
got
just gonna,
somewhere to be.
I'm going to make my own lane.
I'll be damned.
I mean, I do think that we live in a town that boasts the worst drivers in all of America. We've got to be in the top 5.
Well,
I'm serious.
I think many people would not give you an argument. I swear to God, if I drive home one more time, and I'm all for motorcycles and look out for the cyclists and motorcycle safety, etc. If I see one more crotch rocket organ donor splitting traffic on my way home, it's like, I'm telling you right now, Dana Wright, it is almost every single night I see one of these cyclists. I had to correct myself there.
I call them future organ donors,
well,
but
yes,
go ahead.
Where they are literally through traffic. And I mean, I'll never do it, but there's a part of me that wants to swerve a little bit.
Yeah, you will not do that, because then you're in trouble.
And further their organ donation. But, drives me insane.
And it's especially bad this time of year when it's really nice outside.
You ever notice it's never a Harley driver, rider?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's always the sport bikes.
One of those, who makes those? Is it Mitsubishi that makes those little crotch rockets?
Some of them.
Yes. It's never a Harley rider.
So I don't want to just spend all day agitated, so let me just read this story out of Oregon where there might be one driver dumber than all of the collective drivers in Kansas City. Authorities in Oregon pulled over a stolen car and found a bag full of drugs inside that was labeled "not a bag full of drugs."
Well, we don't need to investigate then, do we, officer?
There is nothing to see here. This is not a bag full of drugs. It's labeled as such, sir.
Can't argue with that logic.
When officers pulled over 37-year-old Mia Rochelle Bagenstos and 35-year-old Reginald Reynolds, they found more than just a stolen car. While searching their car, they found a bag labeled not a bag full of drugs.
Well, we're going to take your word.
Full of drugs, along with scales, money, and a loaded handgun.
Definitely not. By the way, that is professionally printed.
It says, definitely not a bag full of drugs. On a burlap, something that looks like they bought on Amazon.
Yeah.
With scales, baggies, blue pills, and a wad of cash. Reynolds was charged with delivery of meth, unlawful possession of meth, unauthorized use of a vehicle, and possession of a stolen car. She was booked on the same charge, but prosecutors later said they won't bring charges against her.
Okay. But it's not.
No.
A bag full of
drugs.
Nothing
to see here.
From the New York Post, a Texas middle school teacher has been placed on leave after she allegedly forced her middle school cheerleading team to crawl around on a blazing hot track as a form of punishment, leaving the teens with first and second degree burns. 13 eighth grade girls on the Evans Middle School cheer squad say they were punished because they performed a cheer that the coach did not want them to do at a football game. The girls claim the coach found it disrespectful, told the squad at a 2 p.m. practice on October 9th. The unnamed coach ordered the young teens to do bear crawls and crab walks for a mile on the school's track, which, by the way, would normally be for a mile around a school track is 4 laps all the way around. The track was over 125 degrees.
Good God.
Uh-huh. Temperatures that day were 95 degrees. The track was 125. An annual event involving dirt, beer, and cash, what could go wrong, once again drew dozens of eager competitors to a ski resort in Maine over the weekend. More than 30 couples competed in the North American Wife Carrying Championship. It is a 278-yard race during which contestants splash through water, leap over logs, trudge through mud, all while carrying their wife like a sack of potatoes.
They fling her over the shoulder. You've seen photos of this.
Yes. The sport's origin, though, is not politically correct. It is based on a 19th century Finnish legend involving a man known as Rokkanen the Robber, whose gang was known to pillage villages and carry away the women.
Oh, my God.
Traditionally,
I'm out.
You can't ride it. Traditionally, the Finnish event featured male competitors always carrying a woman, but now they've gotten a little bit more politically correct. On Saturday, competing couples did not have to be married, nor did it have to be a man carrying a woman.
Okay.
It is the wife carrying competition. The champion leaves with the weight of their wife in beer and five times the wife's weight in cash. No, wait. To estimate the amount that they won, so the wife does not have to get on a scale.
Thank God.
No. So what they do is the winning team, the wife gets on a seesaw, and then they weigh down the other side with beer until
it's balanced.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Sounds good to me.
They balance out the other side with cases of beer until the seesaw is
you just know there are balanced. Conversations leading up to this, like, eat up, mall competition's in 3 weeks.
Eat up. Seriously. Jim Harbaugh had to leave the field yesterday.
I saw that.
The Chargers game. Yeah, he had a heart condition. Atrial flutter is what they're saying. His heartbeat went out of rhythm. Harbaugh, who is 60 years old, went to the medical tent on the team's sidelines during the first quarter of the Chargers' 23-16 win over the Denver Broncos. He did return to the game later in the first quarter.
That's that thing where your heart goes, bah, 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 bah. Have you ever had that happen, Scott?
No.
Oh, my God, it's so scary.
Have you?
It feels like you're having a heart attack, where it's pounding out of your chest and then it stops. It's irregular rhythm. And I had it to the point that I went in to the doctor and they hook you up to a little machine to take a look at it. And it happened while I was there, which
really?
You know never happens at the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
If you just watch, this is going to do this. And then it never does. I actually had the event happen while I was hooked up to the little boop, 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 boop thing. And they said, in my case, it was normal. It feels scary. It feels awful. But you can go back to your regular routine.
He had arrhythmia. And that causes the heart to beat either too slow, too fast, or erratically. He said he could tell that there were some, quote, irregular beats going on in his heart during the game.
You know, they've studied the list of people who have heart attacks during the Super Bowl, and it goes up during certain, or like the final, I don't even know if it's the final collegiate championship game of the year, but during the Super Bowl, they have studied this. There is a higher rate of heart attacks that day during that event.
During the Super Bowl, yeah.
Than on a normal Sunday.
Why?
Because people are drinking, they're tired, they're eating crappy food, and they're jumping up and down like maniacs.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798. That's Quentin. She's Dana. My name is Scott. Hey, don't forget to sign up. We have the Dana and Parks, the fourth one, cornhole tournament going on this weekend at Serve in Overland Park. We have a limited number of slots for teams, so make sure you register your team as soon as possible. Just go to kmbz.com, kmbz.com. All the proceeds go to benefit KC Pet Project. Somebody was writing just now on the text line that some future organ donor is lane splitting on 71 Highway as we speak. By the way.
Yeah, a buddy of mine texted and said, this is legal in some places. I go, no, it is not.
In California, it is explicitly legal to lane split if you are on a motorcycle. In Utah, it's legal, but it's not because there's been legislation that's just...
They just allow them to do it.
They don't care. But in 1, 2, three, four, five. In six states, there has been legislation introduced that would legalize lane splitting. Those states include Oregon, Texas, Maryland, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Missouri.
Why? Why would we let that happen?
Lane splitting legislation has been introduced in those six states, including the state of Missouri.
Now, I understand if there's a wreck and there's a huge backup and there's a wide open shoulder that isn't wide enough for a car or a truck. I can understand if you're a motorcycle rider wanting to ride that shoulder to get to the next exit.
But that's not lane splitting.
And get on with your business. I agree.
That's just driving on the shoulder.
Lane splitting sounds like an invitation to an early gravesite to me.
And here's why, and I'm not an old fuddy-duddy, but yes, I am. Here's why I think lane splitting should be illegal is because it catches me off guard as the driver of a car.
Yeah.
And I'll flinch or like, oh my God, there goes some guy who just tried to lane split. Jacob in Platte City, what's up?
Hey, Scott. So we got to break down the bad driving in Kansas City. And you know where I'm going with this. It's in regions. And we'll start with Johnson County as number one.
Oh, come on.
Including Western Shawnee.
You didn't say it with enough, but go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm just some hillbilly up here in Leavenworth, so. But Johnson County's number one. Wyandotte County's number two. Leavenworth is number three. And then you get the rest of Kansas City.
What is your beef with the Kansas side counties?
Well, I've driven enough miles in Kansas City over in the past decade that I've been offended by more people with Kansas tags than Missouri tags with poor driving decisions. And it seems that in my experience that I get more Kansas tags that don't know how to navigate roundabouts than Missouri tags.
Hmm. And you would put Johnson County at number one as the worst drivers in the metro?
I think a lot of people who have driven commercial vehicles would. I'll be honest with you, Scott. I won't even ride my motorcycle down there. I just won't.
Even in Western Shawnee?
No.
Huh.
Jacob, I recognize your very anecdotal comments about Johnson County, but do we not all paint each other with a too broad brush in this town?
Yes. Yes.
We all do
But Johnson County is public enemy number one.
Oh, of course it is.
For most people. For anybody who doesn't live in Johnson County, Johnson County is public enemy number one. 913-586-7798. Quentin Morris, Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to sign up for the Dana and Parks Cornhole Tournament. We are doing it this Saturday at Serve in Overland Park from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Register your team while we still have some slots available at kmbz.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.